All right, here we are, Worldwide Live, through the internet, with BBS Radio, on Monday, January the 14th, 2019. Welcome to everyone listening into this. Another episode of 1 Hour with Vin Free and Terry Brown. I have not seen an announcement email, so I do not know what the topic is tonight. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call, and we have a bunch of people here, and a few more joined in the last minute. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. One at a time. But, of course, only if you want to. Thank you for being here. We welcome you.
Where's BBS set up now?
They are in the Bay Area somewhere. Told me the name of the city. I can't remember. In the Bay Area, that means near San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Terry Brown.
Go ahead. I was just going to say it's some expensive real estate around there.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, San Francisco is insane expensive. I do not know how far out of San Francisco the prices are going down. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
It's Wynn in Sedona.
Hello, hey, Wynn. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Wynn.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you, Cecil.
So we are live on BBS, and Trudy has the dashboard in front of her. I'm just on the phone.
Okay. I've got the dashboard on, and hang on a second.
This Terry conference is being recorded.
Who's here?
Terry Brown.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Hello.
Record time. How did you do that?
I was already on when you came through.
Uh-huh. I'm going to do a replay. And
okay.
It's a call that, are we recording? This is January 14th, 2019. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, everybody everywhere.
14th.
And January 14th. At least I didn't say July 8th.
July.
We're still thinking.
Which is what my clock says. And let me see, who's here tonight? I'm a little worried about Morgan. She lost her cell phone.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We might have two people, Wynn. I'm not looking at the dashboard. We have several unannounced people, so I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at the dashboard. Mondays is kind of a wild card, and sometimes we have guests, and sometimes Terry and I do a channeling, and sometimes we do a replay. And for those of you who are not aware, one of the most influential people who has been part of our group for a number of years, the lady by the name of Carla Ruckert. And she was the person, if you're familiar with David Wilcock, hang on a second.
Muted.
David often quotes the Law of One. And it's a series of channelings that happened in the early 1980s that ended up being 5 books about the story of this group soul of millions of individual souls that has acted as a guide for planetary populations still going through lower levels of evolution. And this group soul is made up of graduates of this realm, people who had many lifetimes, or beings that had many lifetimes, that got off the wheel of reincarnation. And the law of one material is available at this website. You can buy it on Amazon, or you can download it for free at llresearch.org, llresearch.org. And Carla and I, Carla was the channel, really had a long-term affiliation before she died. We did quite a few shows. We talked about the Law of One. And I'm going to play one of our shows that we did together. And I don't know what we talked about, but we'll find out together. Here we go.
But we'll go slow, just in case.
I'll love you right
home.
Back.
Pardon me? Okay. So we have Hise, we have Jim, we have Francis, we have Dominic in England, and who else is on the call? Anyone else? Okay. We have Terry, and we have Carla. She's got a reputation as being one of the most highly intended channels on the planet. And then we have our other channel, who's Terry Brown, who has got a reputation as being the only person that goes around the parking lots of L.A. in channels. Carl, you don't know this, but Terry leaves work and she goes to the McDonald's parking lot.
I see.
To participate in these calls. And this is actually the show that's dedicated to Carla, and Terry's there kind of in, you know, just supporting the energy. And just a little bit of background of Carla. In 1970s, she was working, I hope I get this right. Carla, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
In 1970, I was still working as a librarian, but I had started being partners with Don in our research. We were writing a book together in 70.
And
it's been a long time.
You were working with Donald Elkins, and you were channeling discarnate entities. Is that correct? And space people.
Yeah, I started in 74. Now other people in the group have started as early as 62, but I didn't particularly care to channel. So for 12 years, I lurked. I just listened to the other people channeling. I didn't learn channeling until Don asked me to, because everybody was moving away and getting jobs and growing up. It was time for a new channel. So that's when I learned. So I was a latecomer. I didn't start till 74. Terry, when did you start channeling? Me?
You. Yes, you.
I started in 1975, but I couldn't get Wynn interested at all. He wouldn't even come to the
session.
Well,
he seemed to have managed it now.
Actually, Terry, you know what? I think I had an innate fear of getting involved with channeling because I was afraid. I remember Terry would be going to this person.
I don't want to change.
Right. What'd you think, Carla?
I said you were thinking, I don't want to change this much.
Right. Well, actually, I was thinking, I think I was afraid, and I think this is a fear that a lot of people have when it comes to channeling, that if somebody is talking to you and they suddenly seem to know a lot and they have ability to be very highly prophetic or psychic and they're channeling, I was afraid of the predisposition to give my power up to a source like that and say, well, what should I do? What should I do? And I have no idea about how to get out a negative source or a positive source. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a negative source. So intuitively, I avoided the whole thing. I remember Terry was going to this lady's house, Cheryl Taylor, who was channeling, and I dropped Terry off, and I wouldn't go in. I left. So, and I don't. Did you actually channel there, Terry?
I did. She taught us how to channel, and then I actually did a channeling there.
One time,
I only did one channeling, and then I didn't do it again until later when after I met you. I mean, I knew you before, but I mean after you met Daphne and Daphne started channeling, and then Daphne left and they started coming through me, like tapping me on the shoulder or on the side of the head and saying, we want to talk to Wynn. And so, you know, I'd say, well, maybe you could talk to me. He's asleep. And then they'd say, no, no, we want to talk to him. So it started.
Are you familiar with that story, Carla?
Yeah. Yeah, you've told that to me before.
Yeah. It was very funny. I mean, and then I was in the Twilight Zone when that happened. I said, no, this can't be. Can't be happening. And
well,
you know,
I think it's good that you think things like that, don't you? Because I think the discernment is so important.
You
can't give your power away. So you do really have to listen and listen for the resonance and things. You can't just say, oh, it's a channeling, so it must be good. You can't do that at all. You need to keep your discrimination and your discernment going. And we all have it.
I mean, I tell that to people over and over on the show, because some people, when they hear channeling, they say, oh, I want to channel. I want to channel. And I don't think people begin to understand what that
means. I think it's a pretty sacrificial lifestyle. I don't think people would be leaping into it if they grasped that you have to live the life that backs up the channeling or it goes nowhere fast. So I always try to discourage people from it before I will take them on as students as hard as I can, because it really is a hard path of service. It really takes a life, you know, and that's a lot. That's a lot to give. So I think it's a wonderful thing if you're called to it, but I certainly would never discourage. I would just discourage anyone from just playing with it, because it's nothing to play with.
You can say that again. You know, I don't know about you, but I know within the groups that have been around me, I've had some amazing things happen that showed me, without a shadow of a doubt, that there was such a thing as negative sources. I remember a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago, there was a woman who was coming to one of my conference calls, and she suddenly said she was channeling. And then after a while, she wasn't at the call, and she was calling people on my line saying they were talking to her, and they wanted her to have a little meeting with people, but not to tell when, so they could prove themselves. And so this actually went on for about a month until finally somebody told me, and I said, well, maybe it's so. But then I luckily I had two sources to run this by. I had both Daphne and Terry. So I ran it by them, and they both came up with the same thing, that a negative source was tapping into this woman, and they wanted to use her to divide the energy of what I was creating. And, of course, you know, you see, you're in a world of double-blind mirrors, because, you know, I could say, how do I know that I don't have a negative source through both people that I'm checking with, and she's a positive source? You have to learn to be really sharp with discernment. I know that one of the things that is Carla's guideline, which I don't necessarily, I understand the wisdom of it, and I don't necessarily abide by it myself completely, but I'm not sure you abide by it completely when I read some of your quote channelings, but the real reference, let me just say this, and you can make a comment, is that if you want to be sure you don't have a negative source come through, you only ask questions that are true 10,000 years from now as they are now. Like questions that are not, of the moment.
Unbound.
Like, what is the word?
Transitory.
Transitory.
Questions that are not transitory.
Right.
That's what you're looking for in a positive channel.
Is
information that will be as helpful 10,000 years from now as it is now. The way that I work with people who want less than eternal information is that I ask them to ask whatever question it is in such a way that they say, what spiritual principles will help me think about this problem? And that way, my source doesn't have to detune and can give as much positive information as it can. If they just say, well, I'm scared about 2012 and I want to know what's going to happen, I'm lost. They're going to have to go to another channel. I'm not going to detune in order to answer a fear-based question. Not going to happen. I'm really jealous and like a mother hen about this contact. Terry, do you know what I mean? You love the contact. You don't want to abuse the contact. And so you just
and
learn
really
what the contact is.
I really love what you're saying because sometimes questions are so transitory and they never like come out and say, well, yeah, you should leave Stan or something like that. I mean, they always give principles behind, you know, how they can evaluate something.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love that you say, like, the information, when it's eternal, then it's good information.
Yeah. It's a matter of frequency, you know. I mean, we our frequency, our universe is frequency, the creator is frequency. The pure frequency is the frequency of love, absolute logos. And so when you're looking for good information, you're looking for information that is as little distorted from the vibration of pure love as possible. You're looking to lessen distortion. And so naturally, if you think about, well, what causes distortion? Well, fear causes distortion. So if you accept fear-based questions, if you are looking for specific information that's going to matter in 2009, not necessarily in 2010, like who's going to win the Kentucky Derby, that kind of thing, only usually people are asking about whatever the cosmic buzz is, you know, 2012 right now. If you allow that amount of distortion, then you're going to get distorted information. There's no other. It's a matter of frequency. So you tune yourself as a channel to the least distorted, the most transparent frequency that you can carry, because you're human, right? But you do carry consciousness, so you just try to get out of the way of that. And then whatever your consciousness is, whatever that frequency is, you're able to pull in the congruent unseen frequency, the frequencies from elsewhere, shall we say, from time-space or from outer sources or from inner sources. But at any rate, whether angelic or extraterrestrial, you're looking for the least distorted information. So naturally, we all want to know the truth. That's what we're here to do. We're here to desire and to satisfy our desires. And when people wake up and want to know the truth, then, you know, the question is just, well, how do you go about that? And really, it is a matter of beginning to seek for the heart of things so that you are getting closer to what's real, what the ground of being is, what created all that there is. And that is unconditional love. It's not fear. So, you know, we're going in the right direction when we're tuning to love. And I think that's the great problem when with a lot of the very fear-based information about organic whatchamajiggers and ichioids and serpentoids, and I don't know. I don't read too much of that stuff because it is so fear-based. But let's look at it logically, right? We're approaching graduation. We've got two paths towards graduation. We have service to others, and we have service to self. So you're going to see wonderful people that are just polarizing like crazy towards service to others. And you're going to see unseen types of information that support that kind of effort. And you're also going to see, with people attempting as hard as ever they can to be graduated service to self, that there are going to be some real rotters around, and that those rotters are also going to be backed by unseen friends who are icky. And so you can have all that fear-based stuff and go, oh, but you see, you can also have all that love-based stuff and go, oh. Now, which direction would you rather pay attention? I think that whether or not, you know, horrible things are going to happen here and there, or whether whether none of this is going to happen, and it's sort of like Y2K, that you can focus on one of two things with great success. You can focus on the fear, and you can tie yourself in knots. And you can focus on love. And when you focus into the love and you see the Creator in everyone and you see that no matter how chaotic things might get, that this just brings out the beauty in everyone, and everyone tries to help everyone else, and heroes are everywhere, that there is a tragedy and someone to help, you can celebrate and say hallelujah and say, I hope I am someone the Creator can count on in this particular time to be a lighthouse, to have fearlessness, and to look for the ways to support and encourage whatever is good around us. And people say, but what if we die? And I'm going, well, I'll die saying hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope I served while I was alive. And that's what I think about all this negative stuff that's going around. I'm hearing a profound silence. What do you think about that, Wynn? Oh, is that right? Okay. Okay, guys, let's see. It's been an interesting week for me. I've had some incredible nerve pain, and I've really seen it as a test. And it's sort of like if when you're in a certain amount of pain, it's the challenge is not to function as much as it is to stay positive and to remember the gratitude that you have. To think over every blessing and to remain in that love vibration and in that fearlessness. And I don't think I'm the only one that might be in a dark night of the bodily soul or the emotional soul or mental soul. Right now I think that suffering is pretty widespread, and that we all are having these temptations to be distracted from our faith in the goodness and the truth of love. Because we say, well, why would all these hard things happen? And how in the world can I remain completely faithful? But, you know, this is the time. Hey, Terry, are you back?
I'm back.
This is the time. Oh, good. We're getting it back. I've been vamping. This is the time of all times to be the most resting back into the power of the Spirit and staying in your integrity as a person who truly does wish to be a lighthouse, and just to be transparent to the light that's coming through. So if you happen to have a problem here or a problem there, you know, it's just a way to kind of hone your attention and help you do a little bit better or more truly or at a deeper level what you believe that is true. And so it's really a time when you're having a difficulty. I think it's a great time to witness. Are you back, Lynn?
I'm back.
Okay, good.
Well, thank you for taking over while I was gone. It's a good thing I have a pro here. I was spoken to Carla earlier, and she and I have never discussed this particular topic. But I said I thought I wanted to bring it up because it's an area that could be very important in discernment in the future. I'm not sure. I'm wondering what's going to happen. But there's been a lot of people talking about
have you lost him again? Hallelujah. There you go. Hallelujah.
Better?
I can hear you now.
You know, I don't know if I'm on BBS. He could just call the conference line number and put me on if they really get stuck. So, actually, Carla?
Yeah?
I think probably the topic is like a big one. That's probably why we're having all this static.
That's probably so. Yeah.
Pardon me?
I say you're absolutely right. There's often a lot of resistance when you get on a really good topic.
Yeah. So the topic is, some of you may not be familiar with the term disclosure, but disclosure is a word that's used by UFO buffs about concerning a government releasing information.
Okay, I'll be glad to. Well, whoever's left on the line or on the radio, I seem to be the only one with a good clear line, and I suppose there's something to be said for that. But I hope I'm also on a good clear line to spirit tonight, because Wynn usually pokes with a stick, and then I have an opinion. But actually, I don't generally have opinions until somebody asks me, because what I love to do is to support and encourage and help people. And really, the way you do that is you're not talking, right? You're listening. So, and you know, then finding ways to say, okay, now where's the love in this situation? And so that's generally the way my counseling sessions go, is that we just talk around. There's nothing that I have that, you know, is like a dogma or this is what you should do or anything like that. But, you know, we just talk around and try to find out, well, where is the love here? And then how can we magnify the love? And as I said before, lessen distortion. But I think Wynn is awfully good for me because, like Don Elkins, he's a natural skeptic. And he is enough of a salesman, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I think that there are just people that can sell you anything. They're people that see the value of things, and they're good with words, and he's wonderful. I mean, when Wynn came to a UFO Congress that I was speaking at one time, we sold out everything on our table because Wynn would go up to people and say, "You've got to read this book." So my relationship with Wynn is long and cordial, and I think the world of Wynn. And one thing that he does is he chews things over endlessly. And he'll think about it this way, and he'll think about that way, and he'll think about, well, if I put it this way, then how does that happen? And so by the time he pokes me with the stick, he's thought about it 38 different ways. So it really makes for an interesting conversation. And you're back?
Are you talking about me?
I was talking about you, yeah. Saying that the way that you are skeptical, the way you keep thinking different ways about things all the time and saying, well, now, if this is true, what about that? And if that's true, what about this? That you pretty well cover the waterfront. You've thought about things a lot of different ways. So by the time you poke me with the stick, you've got a really good question. You know, so
well,
we get to have...
it's a great responsibility to put stuff out into the public. And as you well know, and you have to be as, you know, there are people that are channels, and all they do is they come out every week with a new channel, and they here's what my voice has said. And the interesting thing that's happening right now is some of those people who have been actually fairly, when I've read their channelings in the past, I said, this sounds very nice, are suddenly saying that ETs are about to land and they're going to be saving humanity. And I said, now, I've been tracking them up till now. They seem pretty good. And then suddenly they make a statement like that. And if I didn't know any better, I would just accept it because their channeling sounds loving. They sound that way. Except I remember when I read Carla Ruckert's raw material, they said, I think the figure was 70% of ETs were service to self, and that there was a hands-off policy to Earth. And I've read that it seems like the understanding I've had is that service to other spaceships are not going to land.
Well, certainly not. They've tried that. It didn't work. You know, it's too much of an infringement on free will. And it emphasizes the physical. The physical is so transitory. This earthly life, you know, is so not beside the point. I mean, but it only contains the point. Let's say it's the circle around the exclamation point, and the exclamation point is infinite and eternal. So you focus on this physical part, the husk, and the husk is going to blow away. We know that. I mean, we all know that. So, you know, it's just negative entities are waiting in the wings when a good person has a bad day. And by that, mm-hmm. I mean that there is a great desire out there for specific information, as I said before. And when you begin to want to give some specific information, when you want to sort of create a buzz or a drama somewhere in the midst of your personality shell, it detunes you to the point where you start picking this kind of information up. And mm-hmm. and I have seen so many credible, good channels go down this road. And, you know, I pray I will never have that temptation because I don't feel that it would be helpful for me to create more fear than there already is.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, the way it's actually doing, it's actually patronizing people. You know, the idea of good ETs landing and helping us and giving
us free... Too. Well, you see, they wouldn't do that either because that's exclusionary, and love is inclusionary. Everybody gets in. You know, it's not like, okay, I've heard different versions of that. All the wanderers are going to be picked up first, or all the ones that believe like this are going to be picked up first, and everybody's going to be left behind. And, you know, that's even a survival win. I mean, you know, there's fear stuff and there's love stuff everywhere you look. And I really think it goes right back to discernment and what really vibrates to you. You know, does that echo in your heart? Does that resonate as being the truth? Is that the way positivity feels? You know, and I think for each person, the answer might be different. So you really need to trust yourself and trust your ability to feel what's for you, to feel that special resonance that almost like you knew it before, but you just half forgot, and then you hear it and you go, yes, that's for me. That's my truth. And then, you know, you've got something. But, it's too bad about both the people that say, oh, the good guys are going to get picked up, and then the people are saying, we're going to be taken over by the bad guys. But it's really kind of two subtle different versions of the same kind of thing where in one way, you know, you're hooked into a dogma thing where you have to believe like that or you're not going to be one of the ones that's picked up, you know. And in the other way, you know, you're doomed because Earth is going to be taken over. But in either case, what's happening? You're getting distracted from service to others. Who cares if you're going to get picked up? Aren't you going to be too busy taking care of whoever's around you? Mm-hmm. Aren't you going to be the last one on the airplane? You know, I plan to turn out the lights when I leave.
There you go. Did you ever watch The Outer Limits?
I started it a couple of times, but I always go to sleep. We grow old. We wear the bottoms of our trousers rolled, and we go to sleep in front of the TV. When no, I haven't seen too much of it. I've never seen the whole one through. Did you like it? Did you think it was good?
Well, that was an old show, you know. That was very old. I mean, it was so old that it was black and white, I think. Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Probably one of the ones that I wasn't supposed to watch as a kid, eh?
Right. Did you watch The Twilight Zone?
I couldn't. I couldn't watch it unless there was someone else in the house with me. I had nightmares. I had too much imagination.
Well, on one of the Outer Limits shows, which is kind of a classic, they had a bunch of ETs landing, and they were going to help change our planet. And their theme was, "We come to serve you." So, somewhere.
Like in a cookbook?
Pardon me?
Like in a cookbook?
That's what it was. Yeah,
there was a science fiction short story like that where the book was How to Serve Man, and then they just covered it with a cookbook. I can't remember who wrote it. Somebody like Frederick Pohl.
That's the story. It was How to Serve
story.
Man. And that was the name of the cookbook, right? So, in any case, one of the keys of discernment that I've noticed in terms of figuring things out is that things that tend to say in the future things are going to get better are usually negative. Okay, in other words, when somebody says a certain savior is coming or spacemen are coming and we can just sit back and relax and wait for that to happen and humanity is going to shift. From my experience thus far, that my own take is things that do that are not coming from a positive place. They're actually taking people's energies out of the now and into the future, into some point in the future when things will get better. And things that are positive bring your energy into the here and now and love into the here and now. And when you move your energy into the here and now, instead of waiting for the future, you're creating the future. You're creating it from now. Everyone who comes into the now and creates an intention is starting to recreate reality. And
that's right. You become a co-creator. You become
co-creator.
That magical personality that can create changes in consciousness at will.
Yeah. And if enough people come into the now, theoretically the whole planet can shift into a positive outcome. If enough people lift the vibration, it'll end up lifting for everyone else. But the chances are probably that's not going to happen. But we could always have the hopefulness that it will. But nonetheless, anyone that tells you this is the future and this is the way things are happening are obviously not co-creating the future. They're feeling at the effect of whatever happens. So automatically, they've taken themselves outside of changing something and being part of, if it's meant to be, it'll be meant to be. You know, like a lot of people say that. If it's God's will, if it's meant to be. When people tell me that, I always get my
back hair, the hairs on my neck up, because they're automatically disempowering themselves that God works through us. We are co-creators with the universe, and when we start doing that, the futures change. We have synchronicities. We have magic. How did that happen? You know, you think of somebody and they phone you. You think of something big and it happens. There's not a limit to the ability of a human to co-create. And if you're just sitting and waiting, see, it's action. You got to start out with some kind of action. Call somebody up. Cheer somebody up. Do something that changes the energy. Then you change your own energy, and you start, even in little ways, co-creating. And then you learn how to do that, and you start doing it in big ways. But most people don't do it. Most people are in, it's got to come from outside to me. It's got to come from the government. It's got to come from ETs.
There's a tremendous lack in this culture of ways that people can get even the slightest hint of their own power or how to nurture the power within them, much less how to use that power rightly. It is a disempowering pop culture. The desire of our economic and corporate reality is that it is desirable for us to be consumers and for us to consume in a certain amount, in a certain order, so that we can maximize the profits of corporations. And because of the fact that people are caught in the slavery to the corporations, where, of course, we need the jobs, and so, of course, we need to buy this, and, of course, we need to make our credit, you know, that whole logic thing of being consumers and being good little consumers, is that we don't turn off the ads. We don't turn off the buzz. We don't turn off the distraction and the sleep. That was what Ross said that the mass media was an agent of distraction and sleep. And they didn't say it in a mean way. They said they realized that there were tons of people with their hearts wide open, with their Blu-ray wide open, trying to write good stuff, trying to put good stuff on the mass media, that it wasn't going to sell next to the sensational, the if it bleeds, it leads, more action, more violence, more cleavage, tighter pants on the guys. You know, it's amazing how they dress office and military personnel in some of these shows, you know, like people would actually wear those things. And it distracts you see, so that you don't have your power. You have completely forgotten that you're even awake, and you just sleep through the life, watching the TV and grabbing the gusto and having a great time, you know, in your own shallow way. But never finding out that, by God, I'm human. My God, I'm a human being. Oh, Lord, help me to become a human being. Help me to stop being a late second density great ape and find that I am an ethical being with the power to choose how I shall live and how my creation shall be. And it's not in a grandiose way or an egoistic way. It's, oh, my God, the Creator can come through me and out into the world, and I can make a difference. And I can make a difference for myself. I can make a difference for the whole planet. And, hey, I almost forgot. That's why I came, to lighten the consciousness of planet Earth by being a receptacle and a channel through which the love and the light of the Creator flows. So you it's not so much that people are just deliberately giving away their power. It's that the culture is disempowering, and I think it's very difficult, and it takes a great deal of courage to let it go, because it's mother, it's safe, it's comfort. And
well,
we
the fear
all
the fear is
find
if, you let it, if you let it
fear
go,
what?
Nothing will come back. The fear is that if you let it go, nothing will take its place.
Oh, right. Which lasts about 15 seconds if you ever actually let it go, because all of a sudden you're inundated with reality.
Right.
Wow.
Well, You know, I have this reference point, which I do on my conference calls, which, you know, what we're doing here is not entertainment. And I'm going to show you the difference between distraction and co-creation. I mean, I do this on my calls. You know, when you're entertained, when you're watching TV and you're being distracted, when you turn the TV off, you immediately feel empty, and you've got to plug something else in. Hi, honey. You know, did you read the news? I mean, it's like there's a constant kind of
a need for stimulation.
But when you're dealing with something spiritual, when you're dealing with co-creation, when you stop, the energy continues. And I do this all the time on my calls. I say, we could stop talking now we'll stop talking for like 30 seconds. And you'll notice that there's not this need to be entertained. You who are listening and are coming along with us, notice that when we stop talking, the energy is still present. Here we go.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
There we go. Now that was somebody who was being entertained and said, where did they go? Well, to me, that is a really good test. And you can try it in your own life. When you're with somebody, see if you cannot talk to them for 30 seconds. And see if you get uncomfortable or if they get uncomfortable. And if you have to keep filling in the spaces to keep a comfort zone. And then you can, don't judge yourself, but say, that's distraction.
Wasn't that a nice meditation, though, Wynn?
Yeah, you know, I mean, truthfully, we could do that for like 20 minutes. 2 hours.
But the guy at BVS would go crazy. 30 right. seconds was about all he could tolerate from us.
But you know
I tried
energy,
that one.
The reason that energy
try.
Is. Go ahead, Pagala.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that I tried that once at church. I'm a reader, a chancel reader at my parish church, and my preacher said, you know, it says insert silences in this prayers of the people. Okay, I'm a Episcopalian, so I'm reading the prayers of the people form two, and it says, you know, silence may be kept. So I kept I would pray, you know, for the church. I would wait 30 seconds, and I would pray for the people, and I would wait 30 seconds. And it made the congregation so terribly uncomfortable. The guy said, I guess you'd better just count to five like everybody else does when they read that, because they couldn't take the silence.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't there, you know.
So one of the reasons the three of us can go silent so easily is because not one of us is competing with the other. Not one of us is, there's no one-upmanship. No one cares. Every one of us has a high intention. And so it doesn't matter who's talking, who's the center of attention. We're just in a flow. And the goal is to create a loving space so those people who are listening can feel how that feels. And every one of you can practice figuring out how to invoke that in your own life to create relationships with people. Try it with somebody. Sit quietly and just say, let's sit quietly and see if anything happens. And ask, see if there's... Don't believe, you know, one of the things is if you say it wrong, it sounds like you're joining a church. No, say, these guys said if we just are quiet and we ask for higher forces to come in, that we'll have an experience. Let's try it and see if it works. And once you get the hang of it, you'll start to become a co-creator with those forces and start lifting out of the impact of the lower worlds, which
you know, the reason you're distracted is because you're trying to get out of your own prison. You're imprisoned, and if you watch TV, or you do this, or you do that, you feel for a moment not in prison. But you know what? You're still in prison. You haven't gotten out of the prison. You've just...
You know what a quick way is to break out? If there was someone that you trust, is to sit beside them and look into their eyes. Not at their eyes, but into the black part of the eye where the light is actually going into the south. And as you look into their eyes, you begin to see the Creator. Another way, if you don't happen to have another person around, if you can get into a place where you really can't hear any cars and you can't see anything but just nature, and then you go up and you touch a tree with both hands and you put your forehead on the tree and you wait. And you will feel the Creator.
Did that, Carla.
Yeah?
Almost.
Yeah?
I
choose trees not because they're the only living things in creation, but because they're the old ones, and they give you so much, and they love you so dearly, that it's just a pleasure.
We better get off of BBS, because we're running 4 minutes late, and Donna's having conniptions, even though he knocked off.
Well, I guess I'll see you next time, then.
Pardon me?
I said, I guess I'll see you next time, then.
Yeah, we're going to be on in 3 weeks. Is that correct, Carla? 3 weeks from now?
Let me look here, Wynn.
I've got the schedule. I'll make sure we don't screw up again. Thank you so much, Carla. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, everybody listening. We only got a few seconds, so let's just take
a
moment.
See you December the 21st.
Just before Christmas, okay. So let's all send love to each other silently. Feel the space. By the way, those of you that felt the space when we were silent, when we hang up, when we leave, don't jump up and do something distraction. Hold that space again. Lay down in your bed and say, okay, I want to feel that space. And I'm going to hold the energy that you can feel it. I'm going to be feeling it even though we're disconnected. The phone is not necessary to feel it. So let's just have the intention to hold it for the next half hour and learn how to do that. Okay? All right.
Okay.
See you next time.
Night, guys.
And wonderful.
Press 1 to stop recording has stopped.